Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers episode 152, the box office report for the week ending January 17th, year of our Lord, 2017. Boom. How about that?
I don't think we could say our Lord.
Year of some people's Lord.
Various Lords.
I'm still writing year of our Lord 2016. I say 17?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. It's because it's
you
January
2017.
I did.
That's awesome.
So most people stick on the past year. You actually go to future years.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a visionary. I'm always looking forward.
That's very.
I have the same problem. I'm still writing George Bush on all my checks.
The first one.
The first one. Yeah. HW. So anyway, the box office report. Before we dig too much in, we'll go around and everyone can introduce themselves so we can get to our guest and he can start joining in.
This is Dan.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom, if I'm still alive a year from now.
Are we actually broadcasting from the future?
Yeah, we are.
Is that okay?
Well, we do have a flux capacitor in here.
Oh, true.
It's not on.
It's not on, but, well, yeah, because it's
blinding.
It's out of plutonium.
I didn't want it to overheat. It just got me here. See, it all makes sense. Our guest. He can't wait to join in on all this.
No, wait, he just left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shut the door behind you.
Is John Lanius. He is the executive director of Vidzu Media.
That is correct.
With a government past. That's just kind of vague. I like it that way, though.
Well, of course.
Yeah. And we've known each other for a long time. If you live in St. Louis, you might remember the Joe and John show. And he was Joe, oddly enough.
I know, right?
Yeah. it was kind of weird.
I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah.
So...
It's what they wanted you to think.
Yeah. It's like all theater of the mind, right? It's all theater of the mind.
It's a head fake.
And just a little bit more trivia, he performed my wedding ceremony, the second one, the one I liked.
Yes, the good one.
The good
it's
one.
The one I liked.
Yes.
Yeah. There's some epic pictures online of that.
Yes.
I mean, we looked incredible.
We did. I can't tell you how I was trying to get to a certain weight level and that last 2 weeks.
The home stretch.
Oof.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Were you hangry a lot?
It was all like turkey sausage and diuretics. That was all. I'm like, I got a tux to get into. Damn
how long
it.
Has it been now?
It's been almost a year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, it'll be a year next month.
So were you able to keep the weight off or?
Not too bad.
That's good.
Well, you tell me. You look at me every day. Do I look significantly fatter?
I don't look at you like that.
Significant. The key word is significantly.
You look marvelous, Tom.
Dan's like, I'm not taking this bait. He's like, I've been married long enough to know not to answer those questions.
These are trick questions.
Yes,
man.
Those jeans make you look adorable, Tom. So, shameless plugs. The League of Show Shares were in full effect this week.
Were they?
They were. We got a couple new ones in here.
Nice.
See if you can spot them. Librarian Cynthia.
Oh, new one.
Not new one.
Welcome to the show, Librarian Cynthia.
It's her doppelganger. Wouldn't that be interesting if there was a second Librarian Cynthia?
No way.
Or an evil.
An evil.
An evil Librarian.
Or
goatee.
Maybe there'd be a good Librarian. Maybe she's the evil one.
Oh. See.
What do you think about that?
Go.
Yeah. So,
she was a twin and she's got the scar on the side.
Right.
She's got the scar on the right. The other one's got the scar on the left. And
Travis Tewitt.
Not in radio.
Chris, he is not in radio. Chris Sanders, who you can now freely discuss Gone Girl around. His wife finally bought him a copy of the DVD so he can go back and listen to our Gone Girl episode.
And our tech support department finally helped him download episode 63.
Yeah, he was having some problems, but he figured it out. So
The bill was in the mail, Chris.
Yeah, Ryan Breidenbecker, Tammy Sherman Powers, Lane LeVanway, Disneyland Matt waxes the monorail every morning. It's which quite, is not a euphemism.
Now, the entire monorail?
The entire monorail. Well, I think he goes back and forth. He does, like, the red one and then the blue one and then, like, every other day.
Now, does he just hang out the window with, like, a buffing pad and just as it moves? I mean, how does he cover?
He has a special tunnel that he that they slide the monorail in gently.
Hold on.
At first.
Cue the Barry White.
And then, let's see, Tom Kaminsky, Brent Smith, Brian Kelly, Timmy Tuzoons, Tim O'Saban, past guest, Scott Gherkin from Mesh, STL. Remember that band? On a Clear Day? Trevor Walker and Demetrius Morar, who sounds a little bit like a Sherlock Holmes villain.
Yeah. Oh, Morar.
Oh, Morar, curse you.
Next time.
Yes. And we don't have a new review this week. We have new ratings. Did you notice that? Our number of ratings went up, but our number of reviews did not.
Oh, so like they were like, I'll write a review. They clicked the stars and they were like,
they're like,
nah,
that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. I've done enough for
that's
these
what they
people.
Asked us to do,
but
right?
But we did get a nice comment on our Facebook page from Andrew Ortman.
Great.
And he says, I've been listening to this podcast since episode 30 or so, and aside from making me a little mad only once, I must say it's an absolutely superb podcast. Funny and very well-rounded with some guys with more experience old-timey radio sound. I think that's you and me, Dan. We're the Al Jolsons of Real Spoilers.
We should take it all the way back and do like a 1920s radio show.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
With our mid-Atlantic accents.
Brought to you by Clabber Girl.
They bring delightful commentary and the younger folk.
Hey,
younger folk.
Yeah.
Mix in for a very entertaining listen. I look forward to it each and every week. Even if it's a movie I would never watch and have no interest in seeing, I'm still very entertained. Well done, gentlemen. Keep up the excellent work. I want to know what we did to make them mad.
I was going to say, only once.
First of all, kudos to us for only making them mad once since episode 30.
Awesome.
That's, I mean.
And we're going to have to bring the heat.
Yeah.
Like, that's, we can do better than that. So, and then finally, don't forget we're available on iTunes, so you can go there, rate and review us and subscribe and all that. It helps us a lot if people stumble across the podcast. They're not sure if we're trustworthy or worth their time. They see a lot of reviews and they'll give us a shot. And that's happened. We've had people actually say that to us. So,
you know what? So, and thank you for the excellent comment. Did we, have we ever heard from him before? Is he like a new
I believe
commenter?
He's new. The name didn't ring a bell.
So I'm thinking maybe that's a pen name for Lane's mom.
And
she's finally coming around.
We finally won over
Lane's
mother.
But she can't admit it, so she has to create a new pseudonym.
That's your shameless plugs. We will dive in to the box office report. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and it looks like Star Wars The Force Awakens finally was dethroned in week 5, because there's a
What a failure.
Right? It's actually only at just shy of $900 million domestic, so I mean, they should just write that off now. But Ride Along 2 came out, so the long-awaited sequel to the Kevin Hart Ice Cube comedy.
Long-awaited? Wasn't it a year?
Yeah, well, you know.
Like, how much quicker do you want them?
Yeah. No, I was being facetious. Ride Along 2 made $33 million opening weekend, which, with the success of the first one, I think that's a little weak.
To, like, 40 or 45?
The original Ride Along opened to $41.5 million.
Why is that in my head?
I don't know.
Why
do I remember stuff like that?
You are Kevin Hart's official biographer, right?
That's true. Well, so, I'm fascinated with any celebrity
that I'm taller than.
Yeah.
There's so few.
So with the success of that movie, I mean, it ended up making $154 million worldwide on a $25 million budget. I think a $33 million opening, 7 or 8 less than the first. Why?
Yeah.
You know, that. But, you know, his movies, I mean, the one with Will Ferrell, I don't have the numbers on that, but that did really poorly. I mean, they lost a ton of money on that movie. So I don't know if it's a, you know, people need a break from Kevin Hart, or if people have already seen Sisters and other comedies. You know, I'm not really sure why this did what
Although
it did.
Although I would think this targets a slightly different demo than Sisters. He said delicately.
Well, I mean, but honestly, though, I mean, you've said it before. Kevin Hart transcends race. I think it transcends, you know, a lot of different demographics. You have tons of people love Kevin Hart, and so he's a huge draw.
Oh, absolutely.
Draw.
I mean, if he goes on, when he does stand-up, he's playing, you know,
huge.
He's
playing stadiums.
Yeah, he's playing 20,000-seat venues.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not really sure what this was, but I guess we'll have to wait and see what it does in the upcoming weeks. So $33 million on that one. Number two, The Revenant took an 18% drop, second week wide release. So $32.5 million, only missed out by $500,000 against Ride Along's opening weekend. That's in a little over 3,500 theaters right now. It's at $90 million domestic.
It's because Americans love bear sex.
Is that why?
That's why they love the sweet, tender embrace.
Only in certain communities, though.
Right.
Well, Jellystone Park.
Sure.
And that's all I got.
That's all you got? I was like, how many can he do? Go on.
Jellystone Park, etc.
Yeah. And so forth.
Yeah. Enough said.
At all?
So, Foreign, it's made $23 million. I don't think it had opened Foreign yet. Last week. So, you know, it's at about $90 million worldwide on its $135 million. It did win the Golden Globe for Best Picture, and then did it win Best Director too?
I believe it did.
So, I mean, I think that buzz is going to help it along, and then Leo's got the Oscar nom, and the movie has a ton of nominations
as
well.
He ate an Oscar?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an Oscar nom.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I got him mixed up.
And well, since he's not up against Paul Dano.
Yeah. What a crime.
I just assumed he was up. Then I looked at the list. I'm like, I'm sorry, where's Paul Dano on this? Oh, he's not on it. That's odd.
And I think if Sylvester Stallone was good enough for supporting, Michael B. Jordan should have been in there for Creed.
I think it's very odd. I mean, you know, obviously everyone's probably heard, but the second year in a row is that Oscar's so white hashtag going around. None of the top 20 best actor, best actress, supporting, etc., none of them are of color. It's 20 white people up there, which I'm definitely not politically correct, and I hate that kind of crap, but if you deserve it, you deserve it, you know? I mean,
yeah, and there have been some years where it's like you look at the stuff and you're like, well, but
you get it.
Those movies maybe weren't quite Oscar caliber, so, but I certainly don't think that that's the case.
Exactly. And so it's like, I would never support a hashtag like that just to say, oh, they're all white. Why is that?
And but if you want to add insult to injury, here's a little piece of trivia. Straight Out of Compton got nominated for Best Screenplay.
Yeah.
The guys that wrote it, white.
Weird. And it's not for Best Picture?
So like a black movie. Yeah. But obviously there were a lot of African Americans involved in the creative element of that picture. And like,
but
it
gets snubbed on Best Actor.
The two lone white guys that worked on the film, they get Oscar nominations and nobody.
It's not up for any Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. And I don't think it's up for Best Picture, if I remember correctly.
No.
But it's up for Best Screenplay.
And I even get why there were no actor nominations out of that, because it really is kind of like there's three stars of that movie.
Right.
And so when you have a situation like that, it's pretty common for those three in award situations to kind of cancel each other out.
Yeah.
And they kind of split the vote and nobody can kind of sneak in.
But a Best Picture.
But a Best Picture.
Get them all in there.
Best Director. Mm-hmm. Because that movie was so good.
Yeah.
And it's subject matter, especially from an Oscar standpoint, is kind of low end, you know, from what they would perceive it. And so for them to take a story like that and make such a good movie out of it and not make it feel like just episodic. So many of music biopics they're like, and then this happened.
Yeah.
And then this happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this, you know, and so this didn't feel like that. It felt like a cohesive story.
Right.
It's a really good movie, man.
Yeah.
Well, screenplay always seems to be kind of the fertile ground for the vanguard, you know, kind of the more progressive votes.
Yeah.
Tend to be in screenplay. That's why Tarantino, you know, it's like, hey, Tarantino, he's in there.
Right.
Also, though, I mean, the lack of Ridley Scott is a bit baffling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, and especially after what happened at the Golden Globes, which was such a joke, I guess, literally.
Yeah.
The Ridley Scott winning Best Director for his comedy, The Martian.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon winning Best Actor for his comedy performance in The Martian.
Yeah. I was trying to explain the Golden Globes. They're like, is it a comedy? I didn't think it was a comedy. I was like, no.
No, just because there's
first
jokes
of all, the Golden
in a movie.
Globes are silly.
Yeah.
They're silly awards. But now they're taken somewhat seriously and they're used as a barometer for what's going to happen with the Oscars.
Sure.
But usually the Golden Globes, it's like they don't know how to categorize them. So they have like things like, make it a comedy.
But,
yeah. Like, I mean, and I get why the studio would have went for that. I get, you know, because they weren't going to win against The Revenant. So if you want a chance to win, you know, Best Picture or win Best Actor instead of Matt.
I feel like it lessens your property.
But
no, it did.
Isn't it also Best Comedy or Musical?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
and it wasn't.
They lumped those together.
Right.
Like, it's a comedy or a musical or whatever.
Yeah, it is silly.
Really?
Maybe it won
Best Drama or Romance.
Yeah. Maybe it went for musical. Was there a deleted scene with Matt Damon singing in the shower or something?
Yeah, well, you know, he was kind of dancing in a rover, no, so maybe
there,
that was it.
There you go. Done.
It's a musical. Done.
Yeah. The Revenant is up to about $92 million worldwide on its $135 million budget, so... We'll see. We'll see what that ends up doing. But with all the Oscar buzz and nominations and everything, I think we'll continue to see it around for a while. Speaking of movies that will be around for a while, Star Wars The Force Awakens, 37% drop in week 5, 26.5 million, puts it at 852.4 million domestic, another $1 billion plus foreign, brings the worldwide total up to $1.84 billion. So it's still about $1 billion shy of Avatar. So wow. I know everyone thinks it's a slam dunk. Another $1 billion, it's got a while to go. It's open in China already, so you've got that huge box office. It just depends on how long it sticks around.
It makes me wonder how Avatar gets.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
This beat all the records in like one third of the time Avatar did. So how did it get another billion?
I have no idea. It's like, what were we thinking?
Yeah, it does seem so. The only thing I can think is that it was just a technological marvel. It was just a fluke because it was the first good 3D out there, and people wanted to see what 3D looked like. I mean, the story isn't anything great. I mean,
well, for those of us who hadn't seen House of Wax or Jaws 3D, that was probably the last big mainstream 3D.
Wasn't there a Friday the 13th that was 3D?
Yes, 3.
You're right.
Yeah.
So... You can't really count those.
Yeah, no,
the 3D
was
terrible.
I mean, I won't argue with the fact that it was the first good 3D movie. And you know, and I think that's why people all over the world went to see it. Now every movie tacks on 3D to make an extra $3, and whether it's crappy or not. Yeah. So, you know, that kind of box office is gone. The technological,
right?
Let me see what it looks like.
Well, and what's weird is it's gone from like home theater, which is so funny because it tends to be better and brighter at home.
Absolutely. I've got it on.
I find it.
I hate 3D movies in the theater, and right, I've got a 3D TV and two 3D projectors. I enjoy it more at home.
But 9D.
Yeah. I know. I just put them all next to each other. The glasses stack. It's great.
Yeah.
But I think what we can determine from that little piece of information, Kevin loves the D.
He does.
Three of them at one time, apparently.
But anybody I know who doesn't have it, when they ask about it, they're always like, oh, do you still have to wear the glasses? It's like, yes. We didn't take a time leap where I was
it's that. What you're thinking of is holograms.
When people ask me that, I'm like, yeah, we're still there. Yeah. Have you? Like, we didn't go that far.
You've been to CES. Well, were you there when they have the TVs that you don't have to wear the glasses?
Yeah, it's not.
Dan, I don't want to blow your mind, but here in 2017, it's all holograms.
Yeah.
Hey, can I point out
why you were there? Why did you tell us the numbers for the Powerball?
I point out that I didn't actually think you had a flux capacitor until I actually looked up on the wall? You actually do. You didn't lie.
I actually do have a flux capacitor. Turn it on for him, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, and it's powered, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a powered flux capacitor.
Oh, let me get the plutonium pumping. All right.
Yeah.
There it is.
I thought you were kidding at first, and then I actually paid attention.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Thanks for vouching for us.
Wait a minute. Did you just turn it on so you could leave?
Yeah.
Oof, he's gone.
Crap. I think
he went back in time to not come.
No, I think we're actually in 2018 now.
All right.
What do we do? Is there enough to get us back?
Well, we're talking about the new Star Wars movie while we're here.
So. Yeah. Wait a minute. Let's go see that and then go back.
What did President Sanders think of it?
Oh. We must have stepped on a butterfly, too. Star Wars doing all right for itself, but I don't know if it will make another billion. That's a lot of money.
Doesn't seem like there's enough places left for it to open in.
Right. That's what I mean. I mean, if we were waiting on some huge opening, but, you know, the China happened, you know.
You know what they should do?
What's that?
They should find, like, two deleted scenes, put them back in the movie, God, and re-release it.
Oh, that would be so...
That's brilliant.
You know why Avatar may have... went longer is because at the time there wasn't really a lot of 3D TV. I don't know, or any 3D TV.
Yeah.
And the only way to experience it was at the theater.
Oh, no one could wait for it.
Whereas, they've already announced you can pre-order Force Awakens now.
Right.
Oh, you could. The first week it came out, I went to Walmart and I saw a little card for $30 and you get some posters. Like, the day it came out in theaters, you're pre-ordering the
Blu-ray. I'm really stumped on that, how it got that far.
I think you had weaker Januaries back then.
Yeah.
Like the last couple of Januaries, we've had big movies. I mean, Revenant's doing well, and even if you look at like the top three movies at the box office basically made $100 million combined.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. You know, like you didn't used to see Januaries like that.
No, they're getting smarter, and we've talked about this on the show. It's like there's no competition, or at least there didn't used to be. Why would you not hold your movie over until January if it's decent and get that money?
It used to be January's dumping ground.
Right.
But then the studio started figuring out, well, we can release these other movies in this dumping ground.
Exactly.
And, you know, look how well American Sniper did last year.
Yeah.
And then the year before that, you had Lone Survivor. I mean, so it's like they've figured out ways to it. I think our number four movie is probably a little upset at The Revenant, because I think based on last year, American Sniper kicked ass. The year before that, Lone Survivor.
I think
13 Hours kind of felt like, we'll just drop our military movie right there and we should be good.
Right. And it should have. I agree. And so number four is 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. It made $16.5 million. That's on a $50 million budget. Not a huge budget, but still, like you said, it should have done a lot better. And I mean, that $33 million The Revenant took in had to have taken a huge chunk of that.
I think if The Revenant wasn't doing so well in that same window, I think it would be 13 Hours raking in all the cash.
The trends show that from the last couple of years, certainly. We'll get into that one later. Number five, Daddy's Home, the Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg movie, dropped 37% in week four. Another $9.5 million brings it to $129.5 million almost domestic.
That's great. Is that his highest grossing movie?
Will Ferrell's? Let's see here.
Well, I know it's not Mark Wahlberg because he was in Transformers.
Right. I'm sorry,
He's one of those Transformers.
Will Ferrell's highest gross, Talladega Nights actually brought in $148 million. Megamind, which isn't a Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Elf, $173 million.
Okay.
But it's up there. He had cameos and the rest. So no, the next one would be Elf. So another $43 million.
I didn't realize Elf was that big of a hit.
I thought it was a bigger hit on home video, but I guess.
Yeah, I thought it was something.
As is usually the case with the holiday movies.
Right. Sure.
$220 million worldwide on a $33 million budget for Elf.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
And then, I think it made bank on home video, too. So they did all right on that one.
It still continues to do that.
Yeah. Oh, every Christmas people talk about Elf, and then they've got the musical and partnerships all over. So, it's going to stick around. Number six, Norm of the North opened this weekend, $6.4 million.
Let me tell you a little bit of something about this damn movie.
Okay.
This kind of pissed me off. I went to see Norm of the North. First off, it's a piece of shit. So, like, that's...
Get that out of the way.
Just get that out of the way. It looks like it would have to go up two levels of suck to be, like, direct-to-video quality. So,
wow.
It's a pretty bad movie.
And this is the one that's... Who's the main character in this? Who
Norm.
Voices? Yes.
He's from the North.
Oh.
Seemed pretty straightforward. I don't understand the question.
Is Rob Schneider?
Oh, that voice actor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Rob Schneider.
So this is a Rob Schneider.
It's Rob Schneider.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, like, so this is his usual up.
Yeah, like even for a Rob Schneider movie, it was lazy.
Okay.
So the premise of the movie is that he plays a polar bear. Right?
Oh.
And he's trying to save his Arctic habitat from...
Global warming?
Real estate developers.
Oh.
And because, you know... Yeah.
That's a huge, open a few Walmarts
up there.
It's a
message movie. Yeah. So he's trying to save real estate developers. So through a whole series of convoluted machinations, he ends up in New York as the spokesperson for the real estate developing firm. But everybody thinks he's a guy in a suit, but not an actual talking polar bear.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay.
All right.
So there's a scene where him and his grandfather... The evil real estate developer, as if there's any other kind, right?
So this is redundant. Stan Kroenke.
And, he orders them to be killed. He wants them killed. So he has two of his henchmen. He throws them in a plane, and they're going to take them out and shoot them and dump them. This is a kid's movie, by the way. This isn't even the part I'm upset about. And so he's like, you need to kill these two polar bears. And so they're going to kill the two polar bears. And then the polar bears say, hey, wait, you can't kill us because we're not polar bears. We're guys in suit, right? And
what a weird plot for a kid's movie.
Yeah, and the guys are like, so the guys that are going to kill him are like, whoa, 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 I'll shoot a polar bear. I'll shoot an endangered species, but not a human being. Like, I draw the line there. Like, I'll strangle the hell out of a bald eagle, but I'm not going to kill an actual person. And he's like, oh, my God, you're not really polar bears? He's like, well, we're talking. You think we're talking polar bears, like, you know, like, what do you think we are, like the Easter Bunny? And it's like, you're a kid's movie. You don't make jokes about there being no Easter Bunny in a goddamn kids movie.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
Like, what?
The holy hell. What do you think we are, Santa Claus?
Yeah. How does that get past anybody? Like, somebody should have been like, you know, this is for six-year-olds, right? Yeah. Like, ah.
That is weird.
Well, I don't, time I don't well understand spin. People. What's that?
That was time well spent.
Yes. So, anyway.
Glad you got that.
Norm of the North. Not a good movie.
Yeah, so I guess don't rush out to see that one.
No.
Well, it's not doing very well, so good. I don't know how much longer you'll have a chance. I guess we'll be on home video.
And, you know, and the thing is, given when it got released and how long, what the life cycle is, it will probably be showing up on home video just in time to land in children's Easter baskets.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Which don't exist.
Yeah, which don't exist.
Who brought this to me, Mommy?
Enjoy your Easter basket. It's your last one.
That brings us to number 7, The Forest, which took a 53% drop to $6 million this weekend, its second weekend release. Now $21.3 million. It's made another $1.2 million overseas, so just shy of $20 million worldwide on its $10 million budget. I mean, I you know, it's a low-budget horror thriller type movie, so I don't know how much more they expected out of that one. But you, Dan, did you see that, or you just saw a trailer for it? Okay.
Yeah, I felt like I was good.
That you're, yeah. Okay. And
I didn't see it. Would you like to know why again?
I want to know why.
For the trees.
We already got that one.
Sometimes we don't get to listen to every episode, so I like to repeat them. Yeah. I like to repeat the really A-level material. Yeah.
Let us know what you do.
No.
So, damn it. Maybe, you know what? Maybe that's why Joe's not here this weekend, because he wants to go see Natalie Dormier.
Oh, come on now. Poor Joe.
Number
oui,
eight.
Oui.
C'est possible. Number 8, The Big Short, took in another $5.4 million, only a 13% drop on that one in week 6. It is now up to $50.7 million. Another $10 million foreign brings it up to just shy of $60 million on its $28 million budget. I guess going into Oscar season, that one's going to continue to make some more money. It's getting a lot of good word of mouth. So
it got nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, and so did more than one of the actors get nominated for Best Actor, too, or...
I don't remember.
I can't remember what happened on that one either. I know Leo's in there for sure. I mean,
Leo's in there. He's probably
because they're all white.
Yeah, Fassbender's in there.
Yeah, he's white.
Carell. Bale's got to be in there. He has that in his contract, right? If he does a movie, he gets an Oscar nomination.
Yeah, it's the law.
Yeah.
It's not just a good idea. It's the law.
Number 9, Sisters. So that one's continuing to, you know, stay in the top 10 at least. It made $4.5 million, a 37% drop. It's up to $80 million now. It actually made $8 million foreign. I think it just got released in the last week or two. So $86 million, almost $90 million on a $30 million budget. But it still seems a little weak for me. But I don't know if that is with the influx in comedies. I don't know if, you know, Daddy's Home making that much money around the same time. And now we've got, you know, Kevin Hart and Ice Cube out there.
Yeah, that's a lot. A lot of, like, sort of A-list.
Yeah, it's a lot
comedian
of
movies.
It's almost like they all got the same idea to, you know, put their movie in January.
Yeah, that's rough.
So, I mean, you know, $90 million on a $30 million budget, and then, you know, home video will do well. So, obviously, this is a win for them, but it just seems like this movie should have done better. You know? But
yeah, I think, I mean, it'll have more life on home video. I think a lot of those a lot of comedies in general.
Definitely.
You don't necessarily have to head out to the theater to experience
the
movie because, you know, they're fine on small screen.
Exactly. And rounding out the top 10, The Hateful Eight, still sticking around there, but, you know, dropping quickly. $3.5 million is a 45% drop in week 4. So it only made $47.6 million so far domestic on its $44 million budget, throwing another $17.4 million foreign. So it's just a little bit over 60. That definitely seems weak for this one. Do you think the controversial stuff with, you know, anything Quentin Tarantino.
The protests?
Yeah, the Quentin Tarantino stuff.
I think it's probably more the time and the time of the year that it was released. I think the running time.
Yeah.
And also that, I mean, people are like, well, if I want to devote like 3 hours to a movie, I think I might see The Revenant.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously, they did that this week.
Yeah, it just, you know, it's too bad. I mean, it's getting a lot of critical praise. It's a good movie. I think the consensus here, everybody liked it, but, you know, it's number 10 and it's only made $46 million. I mean, if you look at like Django, for instance, $162 million domestic, it ended up with Inglourious Basterds, $120 million. So this one's quickly dropping at, you know, a third of what those other ones made their run. So I just...
The last time he did anything contemporary was that Death Proof? Was that his last, like...
Like, present day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Whew.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Might want to come back.
Yeah.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So boy, that's a land speed record for us.
Yeah, well...
I think we can pin all our problems on Joe.
So now we know.
Now we know. We finally...
Well.
Yeah. So,
he's a chatty one.
He is, especially if you mention professional wrestling or Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, well, I can get him on the phone to talk about Ronda Rousey.
The delay would kill us. Yeah, he's out with tonsillitis. Yeah. I thought he was out getting engagement photos taken with Blake.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then make it salsa.
And then, yes. So, I guess that's it for this episode.
That's
like I said, that's a land speed record for us, but we'll go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
You can find me at vidzoo.com, which is Vidzoo Media. This is John Lanius. I just want to point out a couple things real quick. I didn't jump in a lot in what you guys were doing for a couple of reasons, because I'm saving all my stuff for the next episode, right?
Sure.
But I just want to point out that you have a poster in here that says Butch and the Kid are back, talking about, obviously, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And at the bottom of the poster, it says, "Here, Burt Bacharach's Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, as sung by B.J. Thomas." That bothers me.
Why does that bother you?
Because you're seeing the entire movie because of one song not sung by the guy that put it together. I just wanted to share that with you.
Okay. But Burt Bacharach sold a lot of his songs.
I'm just, look, you had a problem with that North movie. I'm just sharing with you where I was in my head.
But yeah, I mean, but he most of his songs were sung by other people, weren't they?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so.
Huh. I thought he, like, because I know he wrote a lot for the black lady that had the psychic.
Dionne Warwick. Yeah.
Oh, Miss Cleo.
That's true.
Yeah, no, not Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo.
Well, now I must know.
But I
think Googles.
Well, but I have to say, it's kind of a wow. I mean, I think that that was a selling point.
But that's my point. Yeah.
Boy, I was pretty excited about Paul Newman and Robert Redford, but you throw in Burt Bacharach and B.J. Thomas, and I'm going. You got
What's
me.
Weird, too, about that poster is that the title is in the same size and font as the actors. Yeah. The top of the poster says, Butch and the Kid are back in the largest font on the poster. The title is in quotes, blended in.
Is this poster like a re-release poster?
No, I know what you're saying. Like,
it says re-release by 20th Century Fox. Oh, and I don't know if that's the re-release.
I thought you were calling them out. I'm like, it's pretty tiny. That would make sense because I was just thinking, like, it's not a sequel.
Why are they back?
So why would you position your movie as they're back?
You now understand why my mind was completely transfixed on this throughout the whole process.
Yeah. It is odd, the whole alignment of the...
Meanwhile, Catherine Ross is like, come on, bastard, just forget
Yeah, you
my
know
name
what? Maybe it's because it went back in theaters. It's got to be something for that because, Butch and the Kid are back in huge font, like a title. And then, the title is tiny.
Just for
I'm glad after 152 episodes,
just
we finally
I love right
caught
below,
attention to this.
Butch and the Kid are back, and then right below it, just for the fun of it. Like, okay, if memory serves how that movie ended.
Unless you're, disregard Bolivia. But,
With the exception of Bolivia, it was really fun.
Yay!
Well, that's got to be a re-release poster.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. So Burt Bacharach songs. He wrote The Story of My Life. Is that a hit? I don't know. Sounds like I should know it, but Magic Moments for Perry Como.
Isn't there like a One Direction song or like a New Age song? It's like Story of My Life.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
You're asking...
It was like Harry Styles was right in the room with us.
Right.
That was crazy.
Right.
Let's see. I'm just going, The Wheels on My Wife. Baby, It's You for the Shirelles.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm just kind of scanning.
I mean, I can just throw knives on the table if you guys want to go. It might be faster.
Don't Make Me Over for Dionne Warwick. Wishing and Hoping for Dionne Warwick. Blue on Blue for Bobby Vinton.
So he was predominantly a writer versus performer.
They Long to Be Close to You for Richard Chamberlain. I don't know. Is that the Carpenter song? Yeah, it says it gets covered by the Carpenters later in 1970. So yeah, wives and lovers.
To Dan's point, though, it's interesting that that's a selling point, because back when that movie came out,
yeah,
the only way you could hear things was to go and buy it.
Right.
So the fact that they're inviting you to go to this movie so you can hear a song and have only one moment with it,
yeah, right,
is very odd to me.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to send us all down this weird tangent.
No, this is what we do.
It's okay.
This is what we do.
We love that
sort of stuff.
Besides, we're like 15 minutes shy anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, that's perfect then. I just wanted to make sure, like, this is my first time meeting the dynamic of the show, right? And so, you know, a lot of the way that I am, that the government trained me to do, which we'll talk about in the next episode, right? Especially with the movie 13 Hours, I'm just saying that I'm trying to figure out your guys' dynamic, and now that I get a sense of it, now I feel a little more comfortable to kind of stick my, you know, my foot in the water.
We almost called the show Tangents. I mean, at one point,
for real. Yeah, let's see.
We go off on tangents. That was very weird that it was so concise earlier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Burt Bacharach songs: "Walk on By" for Dionne Warwick.
Yep.
Okay. "House Is Not at Home" for Dionne Warwick.
Okay.
"Well, I don't know what this is, but by God, I need to hear it. Me Japanese boy, I love you."
Oh yes,
Kevin.
Please, somebody bring that up,
Kevin. We found our outro song for this episode.
Please, somebody bring that up.
"Me Japanese boy, I love you."
It's a hit.
"Anata wa Nihongo Dego." Seriously,
is that how you say it in Japanese?
Yeah,
huh? Like that.
Not a joke. "Nihongo ga sukoshi hanashimasu de mamada zozo zarimasen."
How about that?
Yeah.
By the way, I was about
to stop you. I'm like, this is offensive. And then you're like, no, actually speaking Japanese.
No. See, I'm multilingual, which relates to my government background, which we'll talk about in the next episode with the movie 13 Hours.
This is called Teaser.
It's right there.
Wow.
It's right there.
"There's always something there to remind me." He wrote that.
Yeah.
Are you actually able to play the song?
I think if you get to "Me Japanese Boy," I think that will probably bring up the right
it's
thing.
It's not on Pornhub. Don't do that.
I was going to say, it'll bring up something far different.
If it's a RedTube link. I mean, RedTube, what's RedTube?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's YouTube Red.
Turn that up. There we go.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Burt Bacharach stuff always freaks me out. It's always creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always sounds like it could be played ironically in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually, this is like, and somewhere in the background, somebody's being dismembered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. I'm completely on board with you there.
All right.
Carving, yeah.
See? By the way, now, see, directors that are listening to this are actually going to take this idea, and in a year from now, we're going to see that, and they're not going to credit any of you guys.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
And his name is Quentin Tarantino.
And this, you know...
What was the song they used in that 10 Cloverfield Lane trailer? They did something like that.
That was kind of cool, because they just literally slowed it down.
Right.
It was like, ooh, creeper.
Yeah. That was a cool trailer.
No, it was cool.
I saw that trailer last night. By the way, the only reason why I saw 13 Hours was because I knew I was going to be here today.
Well, thank you.
Well, all right. That's...
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, you guys were talking about...
Yeah, me too.
Right, well, I'm just saying, but earlier you guys were talking about 13 Hours and how it didn't do very well, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, like, not a joke. Like, I've worked for every government agency out there in one capacity or another over the course of my 6 years when I did that work, and I wasn't going to see that movie. If I'm not going to see that movie,
right,
then hardly anybody's going to see that movie.
Right. Do you think...
I didn't see the movie.
Well, you know, maybe... I mean, this is kind of box office related. I won't get into the movie, but do you think the Michael Bay name scares people off?
Yes.
Yeah. Directed by Michael Bay.
There are a lot of my Hollywood friends, and I can show you, like, messages I had with them where they're like, why did you go and see that? And a good friend of mine, who's a Getty photographer, he's worked with Michael a lot, and he was like, why did you even go see that movie? I said, because I'm going to be on a podcast tomorrow. And he was like, well, what did you think? And I said, you can clearly see... when Michael Bay is in charge, and you can clearly see when others aren't. I'll share more about that in the next episode. But I don't think Michael Bay was the right choice for it.
Yeah. Well, I think certainly just by name alone. I mean, I'm thinking the box office is definitely related to that, because when you want to see a Transformers movie and huge explosions, and I mean, he's your guy. It's that type of movie. But
he's
this is
guy
a different audience probably.
A couple times. He's not your guy.
I think the mistake they made from a box office standpoint is I felt like they tried to keep the marketing of the film apolitical.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think for the most part, I felt like the movie was fairly apolitical. Like, it wasn't like Benghazi has obviously become a hot political football topic. And And I feel like they didn't want to alienate potential people from the movie, so they tried to keep it, you know?
Well, and it was vague.
And I think that was a mistake, because I think the people that are on the left that are like, Benghazi is all a bunch of made-up BS, they were never going to go to this movie anyway. And the people, I'm just talking marketing now.
Yeah.
And the people on the right that are like, you know, Benghazi is their rallying cry, as soon as they hear that they're trying to play it straight and keep it neutral and apolitical, they're like, I'm out.
Yeah. Right, and I also think the marketing was very vague. You have a clear star of this movie that wasn't in any of the marketing material as the star until I pointed out to Tom off air. But now, like, the Twitter profile and the Facebook profile and all these posters are all John Krasinski.
Yeah,
he is the star of the movie. But then you've got people saying, "Who's in this movie?" And you go, "Jim from The Office is a badass."
Yeah,
you know. I mean, gun, right. You know, guy toting a gun around, like, you know, so I think it's just an odd combination of things. Like, how do you market that? But would that draw more? I don't know. It's just kind of a mess to market this mm-hmm. type of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, you should say where people can find you. We stopped halfway.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I derailed us off onto this weird tangent.
Ah, yeah. Well, you can find me on Twitter. This is Kevin, and follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe.
I forgot to give my Twitter.
Oh, absolutely.
It's at Vidzu Media John.
Okay.
Thanks for letting me share.
No problem. That's what we're here for. And don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we are there waiting for you at facebook.com/realspoilers. You can email us at realspoilers@reviewstl.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at realspoilers. If you like the show, you can share it with your friends. Join the League of Show Sharers that we read off at the beginning of the show. Just go to our Facebook page, click share, and if you have your privacy settings set in a way that doesn't block out the whole world from seeing you, then we will see that you did that, and we will tell the world that you were kind enough. So
it's a great way to start 2016.
It is.
Or 2017 if you're there already.
Yeah, totally. People, and I'm going to tell you, as somebody who's already in 2017, that people are doing it like crazy.
Right.
And so you want to get out ahead of the curve on this. You don't want to be the guy that didn't show up to the U2 concert until Zooropa.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you want to be the guy that saw him at the club.
Exactly.
You know, so on the War Tour.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so definitely.
So anyway, so also don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate and review and subscribe. It helps us a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. So I believe that's everything I need to say. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, 13 hours. As you can tell, we've finally warmed John up. He's willing to talk to us now, and he'll have all sorts of interesting things to share with us coming up on our very next episode, 13 hours. Until then, you've been warned.
Long, long ago in a land far away, a little boy and a girl were so in love. Standing neath the moon above, he said, "Me, Japanese boy, I love you. I do love you. You, Japanese girl, you love me. Please say you do." He carved their names on an old cherry tree, just like they've done in Japan since time began. Then he gently held her hand and said, "Me, Japanese boy, I love you. I do love you. You, Japanese girl, you love me. Please say you do." In a blue.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.